You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company. Ahead of the events this week, we've got the Omega Dubai Desert Classic and we have the Farmers Insurance Open on the agenda. Dave Kellner here, ready to preview this week's events with Dave Tindall. Good morning to you, Mr. Tindall.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well. Good. I'm very well. Yeah. I mean, as a golf fan, you couldn't ask for much more, could you, than the events this week and the lineups we've got?
They're good, aren't they, as well? The timings as well. You sort of get golf most of the day, don't you, with the European being in Dubai. You wake up, some golf on the telly, and you check your leaderboards, and then you've got it in California as well.
What's your daily process then? Thursday, is it just you wake up early and get to see those late starters in Dubai, then you just sit on the couch all day until the Farmers is completed at about 11 p.m.?
There's a bit of other stuff
happening
going
as well.
On in between, a bit of eating maybe, toilet break. But yeah, I think I do like that wake up in the morning. If you've had a first round lead, a bit especially in the desert events, just to see, and that can make your day, can't it, straight away, give you a little pep.
I'm sure people that have listened to this podcast before know the process by now, but we have a small reflection on last week before we get stuck into this week. And we had an unbelievable event in Abu Dhabi with Shane Lowry fighting back to deny Richard Stirney. Was Richard Stirney too conservative on the back nine? The commentators, that seemed to be the assertion from some of the commentary team, that he'd taken his foot off the pedal and allowed Shane Lowry back into contention.
Yeah, possibly. He kind of said all week he wasn't playing amazing, but mentally he was in a very, very strong place. Which maybe because of that you would have thought he wouldn't have backed off, because that was, but maybe it just down to the very end he didn't quite trust his game enough to see it through. It's one of those weeks where you sort of find out halfway through that Lowry's been in Dubai for about 3 months practicing. You think, oh, I wish I'd known that before the off.
Yeah,
but there's not a lot you could do because he obviously started that fast. His odds had crashed straight away.
Yeah.
So
I think he only hit four fairways on the
second
Wednesday.
Round.
I think when he shot 10 under, he only hit four fairways.
Yeah, well, I think I was watching the next day, and I think he was teeing off on the 16th, and it said he's hit again four up to that point.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really hurting him, was it? And obviously his short game, which is a thing of marvel, was bang on. So yeah, I mean, he played well in the DP World Tour Championship before in the UAE. He'd played well on that course once, but had a series of missed cuts. And he'd started his season in America for the previous few years, so it was a bit of a return to a track. And he's a cracking player. He's won a WGC, could easily have won a US Open. He is a top-notch player, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And we had a little bit of success as well. Pablo Larrazabal shared sixth place, so got a return there. And you had Louis Oosthuizen, who had one disastrous round.
Daft round, didn't he? Yeah.
But still managed to grab a full place.
Yeah, it was nice to see him come back in the final round and get a full place at 22s or something.
Yeah, and we almost landed the Your Odds
bet.
Yeah,
I let you down again.
Yeah, but it was Lee Westwood looked like finishing top 10 for the majority of the week, and Neuss Lauten was just plugging away, and then I think a leading round of 65 on Sunday sealed his spot in the top 10.
Yeah, I think all week with that bet, we sort of had one in the top 10, one just outside. Yeah. We thought, is it going to go our way? But it was a decent run for, what, a 20?
25 to one shot.
Yeah, I think if we keep plugging away with those, as you said, you need a couple, don't we, for the year?
Yeah, and we've got one coming up later on in the podcast as well. Just before we get to that, I think Adam Long became the most Googled player ever on a Sunday evening following his win in the Desert Classic. I mean, I wouldn't have backed him at a million to one.
No, he had no form at all, did he, coming in, playing in the final group with Mickelson and Adam Hadwin. I think I talked Mickelson up last week. I had a little listen back because somebody said, didn't you mention Mickelson? And I went, did I? But then I listened back and I rabbited on about him for a couple of minutes. So I quite liked him last week at 40s, although I didn't put him up as a bet. But to be honest, I just thought he'd run out of gas. All week he didn't sound like he was... He kept saying, oh, I'm a bit rusty, he's surprising himself. And I thought, oh, this is going to catch up with him, and it did. And I thought, there you go, Adam Hadwin's going to win the rake, win three or four clear, and somehow he didn't. I'd have been more gutted if I'd been an Adam Hadwin backer last week.
Than a Phil Mickelson
backer. Yeah, I think so, because I always had this feeling Mickelson would just drop away at the end. But Hadwin looked to be doing everything perfectly and then got done.
It was almost one for the course form brigade, wasn't it? Because Adam Hadwin came in with those three top tens in the Desert Classic and almost won another, despite being, I thought it was short in the betting. It was around about 28th, I think, with William Hill last week. That I've got to mention that shot on the 72nd hole from Adam Long as well. Searching for your first PGA Tour title, a life-changing moment.
Yeah.
And he hit the shot of a lifetime.
Well, the ball's below his feet. They normally just leak away to the right and
over water.
Over what? Just to think. Sometimes it's sort of, you sort of break it down and you think he's hit that little white thing twice and got it in the hole from where he was. How can that be? And yet he did.
Let's talk about this week then. We'll start with the Dubai Desert Classic on the European Tour. The latest betting here with William Hill sees Bryson DeChambeau at the top of the market at 8-1. Louis Oosthuizen is 14-1 along with Sergio Garcia. Tommy Fleetwood also 14-1. Henrik Stenson is 16s. Rafa Cabrera-Bello is 16-1. Matthew Fitzpatrick and Tyrrell Hatton are both 22s. Juuse Lauten and Tom Lewis both 25s. And it's 28-1 and bigger the rest. This is the event in the Middle East with the most history, and it provided a fantastic finish last year with Hao Tong Li taking down Rory McIlroy. The issues that have continued to plague McIlroy on a Sunday were exposed by the Chinese last year, and Li's total of 23 under par was a tournament record as well. The Match Li course that hosts this event isn't one of the longer tracks on tour, measuring 7,328 yards with four par fives. But last year, the players, or some of them, suggested that it really suited the longer hitters. Mm-hmm. What's your reading of that situation? Because the narrative coming in here is that they overseeded last year, it played soft, and the Bombers had their way with the course. And this year, they've gone in the opposite direction, and it's going to play fast and firm. But we might not know until Thursday.
No, I mean, it does seem, we're going off EuropeanTour.com. I don't know if you've seen any player quotes, have you?
I've been looking, and
me
I've not seen anything.
As it stands, we're recording this on Tuesday morning, but at the time of recording, we have seen just the EuropeanTour.com say, as you say, they've overseeded faster fairways. It says long, thick, rough. I'm always dubious about, really, is it really?
Well, Shane Lowry last week, hitting fairways is overrated, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It might play a part. Maybe it's not. I think it maybe just opens it up to a wider field maybe this year than last year, where it was a bit of a bomb and gouge.
What we have seen in the past is that this is a drawer's golf course.
Yes.
Really suits a right to left shot shape off the tee. And given that wind can be a major factor, Lynx players have historically a pretty good record at this tournament as well.
Yeah, lots of Open winners have done well here. Else, Tiger Woods, Paul Laurie. That's an angle.
I've got two picks this week.
Me, just the one.
Okay.
So that means you lead off.
I'll lead off.
Don't have one of mine, please. One.
I think this is a good price, this one. 40-1.
No.
Torbjørn Olesen.
Yeah, so I was close for me, yeah.
We're top price on Olesen this week. And it was a pleasant surprise when I saw that, because this is a course that clearly suits him. It was a pretty weird week last week. A lot of the leading contenders missed the cut.
Stenson and
it was strange, wasn't
Tyrrell Hatton,
Olesen was one of those as well. That was his first start for a couple of months. I'm more than willing to forgive that and forget about it. Hopefully it will have blown away the cobwebs for Olesen. But he's finished 3rd, 5th and 8th at this venue in 3 of 4 years, starting from 2013 onwards. And we know that he's a winner, don't we? And he won't shirk the issue if he's in contention. He plays with that predominantly right to left shot shape off the tee, which suits the Majlis course perfectly. And he famously finished sixth at the Masters as well. Two of the last three winners of this have gone on to win, the Masters back in on his debut in 2013, indeed. And he ended last season in tip-top shape as well, Olesen. I expect him to get back on track here. He's got a good bank of form at the Open Championship as well, can handle the wind. I thought 40s was, a very nice price on Olesen.
Yeah, I was close for all you've said. I don't know whether I was put off, maybe ever so slightly, when you go on his Twitter feed, one of the pictures of him is hacking out of some trees last week, and he's saying, a little too much of this today.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe if his driving's a bit wild and the rough's a bit up, just a slight thought that was. But I think overall, you're getting an excellent player for 40-1, and you know, if he'd come 11th last week, he might easily be 22s, 25s.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. I think the miscut's
overplayed.
Maybe overplayed here at 40. So I like that. Your bet?
Yeah, another Scandi, Alexander Bjork.
I thought I've got him written down as my... Mm. He's on my shortlist. I thought you might go for him.
Yeah. I think in my head, and this is good for you as well, your bet with Olesen, I think it is a bit of a course horse type of track.
Yeah.
Look at Stephen Gallagher, who I'm very tempted to put up as well, actually.
125.
He's got a ridiculous record there with two wins, a second and a third either side, and a couple of other top tens. So I do like the fact that Alexander Bjork played this for the first time last year and was tied sixth. That's very encouraging.
Yeah.
And he's done plenty of good things since then. That runner-up to Eddie Pepperell at the British Masters only in mid-October. And he's been fairly solid since. 14th in Turkey. Tied 12th at the DP World Tour Championship, which again shows his ability to play desert golf. And he was tied 17th in that one before. Also got a tied 13th in Abu Dhabi a couple of years ago. Didn't do too bad last week. A nice start in Abu Dhabi with a 66. Eventually finished tied 32nd. But I did note that he was 6th in driving accuracy, and even though you don't want to overplay that, so it doesn't help that he seemed to be hitting the ball quite nicely off the tee if it is a bit thicker rough this week. He's just a very good player, and he keeps getting chucked in at 50-1 in sort of feels like this. And, you know, it always seems like an each-way opportunity if you can make a decent case based on other things. And I think you can here with that 6 last year and just some general excellent player since we've seen him come on tour the last few seasons.
Now, like that, Alexander Bjork at 50-1 for Dave. I'm going with a debutant as my second selection, Erik van Rooyen,
right,
at 100-1.
You're thinking the links angle?
Yeah, I'm thinking the links angle a little bit. Finished fourth at the Irish Open last season, ranked 20th in strokes gained off the tee on tour as well last season, and he returned from a break with a 32nd place finish in Abu Dhabi last week. He's a pretty long hitter. That was actually his fifth straight cut made as well, so in decent form. And I just think he's a serious prospect, Erik van Rooyen, and to get him 100-1 now rather than when he's maybe won an event or two down the line at 25s looks like good business. So Erik van Rooyen at 100-1 is my second pick.
Yeah, if I had a second pick, one of those ones, shan't I? It'd be Brandon Stone.
Yeah, I looked at him.
125s.
Yeah.
You know, you're saying he might win one, and then, I mean, Brandon Stone has already won events. He's won the Scottish Open on the links, as well as those events in South Africa. And his record here, it's miscut on debut, miscut last year, but he was seventh in between. So he's got the course form.
Are you going to throw him in half a point each way?
I think I better had, hadn't I, now, for that. Lots of good form at the end of last year. Top 10 in the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, 7th in the South African Open, 15th in the Alfred Dunhill. Obviously, maybe a bit of rust. He'd had a month off before Abu Dhabi, but he shot a second round 69 in Abu Dhabi. I always like it when players have missed the cut, but with a decent score, suggests they're just paying for a bit of poor play on the opening day, and they got it going on day two. And
I like that as well.
Who knows what might have happened?
The evidence there is only anecdotal, isn't it? I think, but I like
yeah,
I
you
do like
look
that.
For it. But so 69 is second round Abu Dhabi last week. He got a bit of grief, didn't he, on Twitter? Did you say that?
No, I didn't.
Some blokes are something terrible because I guess he had him in a in a DraftKings team or something. And just was like massively insulting, but right. He sort of flat-batted it back,
did
Brandon
he?
Stone, and then everyone
said,
what an idiot this other
in,
bloke
yeah.
is. But, so it'd be quite nice for him to come back like this. But I think on this course and that little links angle as well, South Africans. Another South African I looked at was Hayden Porteous. Two stabs at this tournament, eighth on debut, middle rounds of 66. And then he was tied 19th last year, but that doesn't quite tell the whole story because I think he was third going into the final day. Mm. So he's clearly one who likes this track. And then he was tied 7th at the South African Open as well. So he could go well at 150s, but I'll go with Brandon Stone.
Yeah,
as my outsider.
125s. Yeah. Any others you want to mention? I suppose we'd better talk about the leading
front
contenders.
End,
yeah, the front end of the market. Bryson DeChambeau is here, 8-1. He's played the course well before and, I mean, a prolific winner.
Yeah, I think if people are just thinking he wins all the time, let's just back him blindly. You've got that nice bit of added security that he's played here before. Was he an amateur then, wasn't he? And finished tied 18th, so
yeah.
That would help you. You can argue that 8-1, given the fact of you know how often he wins, was it sort of 3 times in the last 8 or 9
yeah,
starts?
Yeah.
Something that's playable. Oosthuizen, but for one bad round last week, would have been right up there.
I must admit, I liked, I like Ian Poulter this week
right.
as well. He's finished 15th and 6th the last two appearances.
I wondered if he'd get sort of delayed jet lag. You know, he sort of battled
yeah.
it through 1 week.
I suppose it's possible, isn't it? But surely not a fortnight later.
Well, more sort of like you sort of fight it and then the next yeah. week it hits you a bit.
It kind of hit him late on in Abu Dhabi, didn't it? Well, he had that one horror hole on Saturday where he made triple bogey 7. I think it was on the 16th and had a bad lie in the right hand desert.
Yeah.
And hoiked it left and made 7 and that dropped him down to 6. But it was a very encouraging performance. He does really like this layout as well.
Yeah.
So. He's just half the price he was last week, which is enough to put me off. 33's Poulter. And Cabrera Bayo should go well, but 16-1.
Yeah, we've collared him a bit, haven't we?
That's stingy, isn't it?
I wondered if you would put up Hao Tong Li as a member of his fan club.
Yeah, as a member of his fan club. Could go well, couldn't he, I suppose? Missed the cut last week, 33-1.
Yeah.
I suppose he falls into the Olsson bracket to a certain extent, doesn't he? But Olsson is 40-1, which... very good to me.
Yeah.
I know Hao Tong Li obviously won here last year, so yeah, it could go well. Shall we move on?
Yes.
Let's talk about the Farmers Insurance Open, which is the hashtag Your Odds as well this week. So we'll be putting up a hashtag Your Odds bet towards the end of the podcast. I'll spin you through the betting first, though. The market leader won this event 2 years ago. John Rahm is 9-1 at the top of the betting. Jason Day, Justin Rose, Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods all 14-1. Xander Schauffele is 16-1. Mark Leishman, Tony Finau both 20-1. Jordan Spieth, Patrick Cantlay and Ricky Fowler all 25s. And it's 28-1 and bigger the rest. The PGA Tour remaining on the West Coast for this event, and this is an exceptionally strong field with a number of potentially exciting plot lines as well. And it's an event that most people are seriously looking forward to, and that's mainly because Tiger Woods is making his seasonal reappearance. Played the Hero World Challenge and the match, in inverted commas, but I think the world is waiting to see if he can emulate what he did last year, and this looks like the ideal starting point given he's won this tournament 7 times, and maybe his most famous major success came at Torrey Pines in the US Open back in 2008,
and his latest one as well.
Yes,
amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
11 years,
unbelievable. What do you think to Tiger this week?
Yeah, he's an obvious starting point, isn't he, when looking at the odds here. 14-1. Maybe, I mean, there's a thought, if Mickelson had finished 50th last week, you would have said, oh, you know, old creaky bones, they need a bit of, you know, a bit of action before they're into their flow. But Mickelson nearly won.
But Mickelson's not gone through what Tiger Woods has gone
no.
in terms of injuries, has
but
he?
But he's had sort of arthritis problems, hasn't he, Mickelson?
He's had back issues, hasn't
yeah.
he? But not nothing like Tiger Woods, though.
No, but with Woods, you could argue that the rest might have done him better than if he'd... You know, I think the Ryder Cup, I think he'd sort of gone over the top by then, hadn't he? I think he'd played a lot and maybe peaked at the Tour Championship, but then his back was probably needing a rest. So maybe he's given it a good rest. And, you know, he plays this course in his sleep, doesn't he, at the Torrey Pines South and time after time. And if he won at 14-1, how hard would you be kicking yourself around the room?
Yeah, I suppose so. But I do think there is
You're
going
happy
to be
to let him
yeah,
go.
I am happy to let him go. I do think there's going to be that element of needing to get back into the swing of things. The Tour Championship was such. It was an iconic moment in the sport, wasn't it? With all the
incredible,
fans,
incredible, wasn't it?
It was unbelievable, and
it was.
I just think the enormity of that will. Mentally and physically take a little bit of time for Tiger Woods to get over.
Right.
That's my feeling.
It's so amazing. I sort of likened it to sort of the moon landings. Did it really happen? It was sort of...
Yeah.
Is this real? Was it staged?
It was just because of where he'd been 6 months earlier.
Yeah.
Not being able to walk or get out of a golf
yeah.
cart.
Yeah. But I suppose if you sort of condense it down to a shorter span of time, it dropped hints that it was going to happen, whereas now he's had a bit of a break, so he was building towards that maybe. Mm. So yeah, 14s, I can let him go. I mean, Jordan Spieth opened up some crazy prices, and people might still think now 25s is, I think if Tiger was 25s, you'd give him another look, wouldn't you?
Oh, definitely, yeah. But Tiger Woods has won recently.
Yes.
Jordan Spieth hasn't had a top 10 recently.
No, exactly.
Let's talk about the golf course, first of all. This is another multiple course event after the Desert Classic in the States last week, but it's completely different to last week's Birdie Fest, where 8-under failed to make the cut last week, the 54-hole cut. Torrey South is the host course, and it's a beast, really. It measures 7,700 yards and plays to a par of 72. The field play that course once on Thursday and Friday, and those that make the cut will play it at the weekend too. The North course is historically easier, Torrey North, but it hasn't been as easy as in the past, in recent years anyway, the recent history of the event. It is shorter and the players can take advantage of the par fives. The consensus seems to be take advantage on the North, eat those par fives up and hold on the South.
Yeah, the draw's quite interesting as well, was it? I think I saw...
Yeah, each of the last eight winners started on the South on Thursday. I saw it on Rob Bolton's power rankings, and obviously it's been noted by Mike Miller on at Smart Golf Bets as well. Does wonderful tournament sheets for
it does,
for
yeah.
events each week, if you've not checked that out. Yeah,
maybe they just Thursday morning starters. They get the pristine.
Yeah,
conditions.
And those are the play Torrey South on Friday. They've had the traffic of Thursday, and we know that Poana greens. There is Poana on Torrey South, but bent grass on Torrey North.
Yeah.
We know that those Poana greens can cut up. So and get particularly bumpy. So maybe on Friday it affects those players going there.
Yeah, a little bit. Sometimes. Maybe you can spend your life trying to work out why, but maybe just take note that it does happen a lot.
Yeah, I think it's still a small sample size, isn't it? Eight.
Overall, yeah.
Overall, but it's something definitely worth noting.
Yeah.
And I think for those...
Yeah, if you play roulette and something comes up eight times in a row, it's not enough yet, is it?
No, it's not guaranteed
it's
to go
a biased wheel.
Ninth time, is it? But I think it's probably... I can see a lot of... Maybe if we mentioned DraftKings. DraftKings are getting a good plug on this podcast, but we mentioned DraftKings twice. I think if you'll see a lot of fantasy players, for instance, maybe taking that into serious consideration.
Yeah.
It's not something I've gone overboard with, I must admit.
Yeah.
What do you think for me, it's all about total driving this week.
Yes, I've certainly played into that with one of my main tip.
And length off the tee, it's a serious factor, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Also worth noting that it's quite a benign weather forecast. You remember that year when Snedeker shot 69 and that was like 9 shots better than the average, and Jimmy Walker got blown off course when it looked like he was going to win. But I think this year it does seem quite modest breezes there on the West Coast.
Grant Snedeker is almost an exception to the rule, isn't he, with this golf course? Because you wouldn't He gets it done another way,
doesn't he?
Yeah, he puts Poana brilliantly, but he's not what you'd consider the archetypal player suited to this test. So it's interesting that he's got such a good record.
Yeah. Well, shall we... I've got two this time.
Yeah, I've got two, so I'll let you lead off this time.
Well, I'm going to lead off with Brant Snedeker.
Are you? Are you going with him?
Well, I'll mention him now. He's probably my second number two pick
rather
than my first, but I'll go with him now. Yeah, I think this is... We talked about it with Dubai, but I think this is a massively coarse form track.
I'm smirking here because my first selection hasn't played here before.
Right. Well, it can be done, but Tiger's 8 wins he had in the US Open.
Yeah.
Day, when he won for the last time, was winning it for the second time. Yeah. Seneca's won it for a second time. So twice in the last 3 years, we've seen a repeat winner. So it does the same old players keep coming round and round again. Which could be the slightly quirky format, but I think it's more just that Torrey Pines South. I think some people get it, some people don't. Mm. And Snedeker is absolutely one of those. Just seems to play it well all the time. Were you surprised by his odds? Because
I think he is maybe slightly overpriced at 40-1, given that he's in decent form as well, isn't he?
Yeah, well, just to go through his course record. So he won it in 2012 and 2016. He was runner-up in 2010 and 2013. He's got a third in 2007. Three of the top nines. I mean, on and on it goes. It's astonishing. One of the, purest examples of course form we see outside maybe a Tiger.
Yeah.
Or maybe a Mickelson of the past at certain courses. So he absolutely loves the place. And what I thought would have kind of ruined his cover was a tied 16th at the Sony. I thought, oh, now he's got that added in. Mm. It'd be 28th, 20, horrible price this week, but 40s, that seems to me just fine. I mean, the Sony tied 16th, 66, 69, 65, 68, all good. Warmed up the week before at the Plantation. And, of course, at the back end of last year, or the second half of last year, won the Wyndham Championship and was second at the Safeway Open. That was in California as well. Mm. I don't see why he's not shorter.
Yeah, 40-1, Brant Snedeker for Mr. Tindall. I'm going towards the top of the market for my first pick. I'm going with Rory McIlroy this week at 14-1, which might make a few people gasp. But I think this is right up McIlroy's street, this one. And I think the decision to miss Dubai, where he has such a rich history, might pay off immediately this week. His strength has always been his driving throughout his career. And I know the Sunday woes have been well documented recently, but he showed at Kapalua he can contend, having his first look at a golf course. And that fourth place finish should have put him spot on for this. I think it was notable how long he was in Hawaii to prepare for that event to kickstart the season. I'm sure he's going in to this campaign with renewed focus, McIlroy. He ranked 6 in strokes gained off the tee on tour last season. I just think this is a pure ball strikers golf course, and he's one of the best in the business. It's more an instinct, a gut feeling, than anything else with McIlroy, but I think he's going to have a huge week. So 14-1 Rory is my number one selection.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if he throws in a big... It's just one, but what does he do on the Sunday?
Yeah,
he needs to answer those questions.
Hopefully he's there and in contention on Sunday. I'll take that. Your second pick?
Yeah, you talked about long straight driving. Keegan Bradley at 40s.
Yeah.
So this is a perfect track for him. And the theory actually plays out really, really well, because the last two visits, he was 5th and 4th. So really does love this track. And again, they were probably two of his better efforts around that time, because he did dip, didn't he?
We saw
that he was probably going to be a Ryder Cup regular for years to come. He won the 2011 USPGA and played well in at Bridgestone, didn't he? He won that. And we just thought, wow, what a great young player. Then he sort of started getting all that sort of jumpy and like the sort of pre-shot yips.
Yeah,
the putter ban hurt him.
That really hurt him.
All a bit of a mess, and it was... What had come easier was all sort of twitching around and everything. But back end of last year, we saw him finish 4th in the Canadian Open. Then he won the BMW Championship. That was a really big thing for him, I think, to get back into that winner's circle. Then he went on to finish 19th in the CIMB, 6th in the WGC HSB Champions in China, 17th Aussie Open, and on it goes. Mm. This year, a couple of events in Hawaii, he was tied 29th at the Sony. So I think he's ripe for another big week, and this is absolutely the course to get him on. So I thought 40s was very, very respectable.
Both your picks come from similar lines, don't they, really? I mean, you look at them, good current form, yeah, good course form, both 40
classy
to 1.
Players,
yeah,
as well.
Classy players.
Proven winners.
Yeah, can see both going well. I'm going with an outsider for my second selection. I'm going with Patrick Rogers.
All right.
At 125-1. Very keen on Rogers this week. He hasn't really lived up to his billing since he came out on tour, because huge things were expected, weren't they?
Hey, he beat Tiger's record of wins at Stanford.
Exactly. He just loves these long layouts, though, Rogers. This is the perfect track to catch him on. It's where he really blossoms. It's been evidenced last year by his tie for 7th in the Arnold Palmer at Bay Hill, which is a course that correlates pretty well with this one. And he's 7th at Memorial as well. But not only that, he finished 8th at Pebble Beach, which is, of course, played on those Poana greens out on the West Coast. And if you check out the Future of Fantasy site, we've talked about that site on this podcast before.
Yeah, Josh Culp.
Absolutely. You will see that Rogers ranks 5th in the top 25 Poana specialists on tour. So this is right in his wheelhouse. He finished 2nd in the RSM Classic on his penultimate start, and his miscut in the Sony Open in Hawaii was his first start back, so hopefully that will put him spot on for this. And he's got a 4th place finish at Torrey Pines as well. That was 2 years ago in this event. He's a serious bomber, and I'm putting a lot of stock in distance off the tee this week, so he just fits nicely for me, Patrick Rogers, and 125-1 is a good price.
Yeah, he sort of slipped back a bit, hasn't he? I think that big performance, was it the RSM, you said?
Yeah. That put him on my radar.
Yeah, he keeps thinking, is he going to properly kick on, and then he sort of goes backwards again, and I'm not quite sure what to do with him.
He swings so violent,
yeah,
that I think there's the... he can be boom or bust. So if he's on, he can play very well and contend. But if he's a fraction off, it can lead to a miscut.
How old is he now?
Oh, I wouldn't even... I'd go 20...
I'm going to Google it live.
I'm going to go for 27.
What
are you going for?
Slightly older.
You think slightly older?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that doesn't help.
We'll find out. We'll find out if Dave can use a keyboard here.
I can touch
live
type,
on the program.
Thank you. I went to typing class in 6th form. Here we go. He is. What did you say?
27.
26.
Okay. So he's younger than,
yeah,
than you thought then. There's still time, isn't there?
Absolutely. There's still time at 26. Yeah. He could have some great years ahead of him.
Okay. So he's my second pick. And he is going to be my hashtag your odds selection as well this week. I'm keen on him. So I'm going a top 10 for Patrick Rogers. And I need to
raise my game in this, because you've had 2 out of 2 and I keep on letting you down. So I've gone a little bit safer this time.
Yep.
With Charles Howell.
Yes.
The third.
Who top tens most weeks?
Well, this is what we want, a top 10. And counting up, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 top tens at this course.
Yeah.
3 in the last 4 years.
And he's in decent form.
Well, he's in very good form, isn't he? And I know he did win. He broke that, 11-year drought at the end of last year. But I think his natural habitat is still a top 10 rather than the winner's circle.
Yeah.
So... this looks a good chance to put him in.
Hopefully yours is the cornerstone this week and Rogers can sneak up there. 35-1 it is, hashtag your odds. We'll have a point on that each week, and hopefully we come close so far. Hopefully we'll nail a couple before the end of the season. So 35-1, Howell and Rogers both to finish in the top 10. That includes ties as well, importantly. Hashtag your odds available on the Farmers Insurance Open this week on the website and the app. And if you want yours... tweet at William Hill using that hashtag your odds. We've done a lot this week so far, so I'm conscious of time, but let's talk about the leading contenders, then honourable mentions, then wrap.
What? We're going to wrap?
Wrap.
All right, a wrap up. Okay. That's a new angle I've prepared.
If you have got a wrap for us,
to wrap
the end of
my
podcast.
Selections. What do you think about Justin Rose?
He wasn't on my mind as much as...
No, it's like last week, it's like, well, it's all, you know, in promising signs with the... Why do you need promising signs when you're world number one?
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Why would you change everything and start going on about promising signs? You already had brilliant signs, yeah. Didn't you? I don't know, this confuses me.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I wouldn't want to back him at 14-1 this week. I do like Tony Finau, I must admit.
I was very close to
20-1 each way as
this
well.
This is such his course, though, isn't it?
He loves it, doesn't he? He talks about how he prefers playing the south to the north.
Yeah,
and he got a handle on the north last year as well. I think he's going to have a huge week. 20-1 was very tempting.
Yeah, I'm a guess he's a don't want to win player, isn't he?
Definitely for me. Given he's finished, his four appearances here have yielded top finishes, and
definitely in any
he had a massive chance to win at Kapalua.
Yeah, any of these markets, top five, top ten, you could play him as another safety in that one. I think.
Well, I didn't want the hashtag your odds to be too
safe.
Short.
Yeah.
But Tony Finau for a top 10 finish.
Yeah, if you sort of perm in a few, you could throw him in part of the
and
mix.
I think he's a decent each way bet at 20-1, and we're pretty much stand out at 20-1 as well. I can see that being cut.
I wondered if you'd put up Cameron Champ at 40s, given that you were talking about long straight drivers, because surely he is the prime example of that.
Very tempted.
Yes,
very tempted by Cameron Champ, and it's notable that. He's come into the game with a similar reputation to John Rahm.
Yeah.
And I kicked myself for weeks when Rahm won this. He was 50-1 and when he won this 2 years ago. And that took a long time to get over that win. And
God,
Champ,
50s, wow.
Champ is a similar... I don't think he's the talent Rahm is.
No.
And he's 40-1 here, whereas Rahm was... I know you can't... It's not that linear, but... I think he'll go well, Cameron Champ.
Yeah.
Tempter. And he was on my list. The other two names that I put on my list, as well as Finau and Champ, were CT Pan and Kyle Stanley.
Yeah, I looked at those two. I looked at Martin Laird as well. He's got some great course form.
He played well last week, didn't he? For
started
spell.
Well, yeah. I said he hadn't picked up a club for quite a while, but then this is one of his favourite tournaments. Mm. Ricky Fowler at 25, just the last one. Bit bigger than normal for this, though he keeps missing the cut here, doesn't he? But he has got form.
Yeah, it's weird. He's got a weird track record here, hasn't he?
But no, I'm happy with my two. I think at the prices.
Okay, let's wrap up. No wrap from you. Yes. Let's wrap up. Give us your selection first in Dubai.
Dubai, a point each way, Alexander Bjork at 50s.
Yeah, I'm going a point each way, Torbjørn Olesen at 40s, and a point each way, Erik van Rooyen at 100-1.
And at the Farmers Insurance, I'll have a point each way on both Keegan Bradley at 40s and Brant Snedeker at 40s.
Yeah, I'm going a point each way on Rory McIlroy at 14s and a point each way on Patrick Rogers at 125-1. And the hashtag your odds, I will have a point on that, 35-1, Rogers and Charles Howell the third, both to finish in the top 10 at 35-1.
And ties
as well, that's important. Player we don't want to win, we both agree with Tony Finau, don't we, this week, I think?
Yeah.
At 20s.
Definitely.
I wouldn't put anyone off having a good each-way bet on him at 20-1.
I think the other one in Dubai, the short one who the price put me off was Loughton. I think Loughton's really come back with a bit of a bang, hasn't he, after
definitely
his layoff?
Has. Yeah. A fifth each-way, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6 for these two events as well. Check out all the betting at sports.williamhill.com. Also... give us a message on Twitter. Anything you want to suggest about this podcast, or if you want to give us a dig about either of our selections this or any of our selections this week, you can do.
Yeah.
Available to do that at D Kellner and at Dave Tyndall Golf. And if you've enjoyed the podcast, drop us a note as well. Thank you everyone that's tuned in and listened this week, and good luck with your bets in the Omega Dubai Desert Classic and the Farmers Insurance Open.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.